Madeline Singer was fairly certain that the number of former suburban housewives who went on to have relationships with rock stars was too small to be statistically measurable, which might be why she felt like Cinderella that May evening as William Hightower handed her out of his boat and on to the dock at the Lorelei restaurant and cabana bar. If, that was, Cinderella had to color her hair, suck in her stomach, and wore a size too large to make America's Next Top Model. Perched on the edge of US 1, the multi-tiered Isla Mirada landmark served good, basic food, poured potent drinks, and drew a mostly laid-back crowd for its nightly sunset celebrations. Tables surrounded a thatched hut of a stage and spilled out onto a half-moon of beach where you could eat with your bare feet buried in the sand and your eyes pinned to a truly spectacular sunset that played out over the Florida Bay. Remnants of sunlight glinted off the black hair lightly threaded with gray that brushed William's shoulders and cast his sharply angled face into shadow.
"Should be interesting to see what kind of reaction we get to the new song," he said, as he retrieved his guitar case from the boat and slipped an arm around her shoulders.
"Everybody on Mermaid Point loved it," she reminded him. "You got a standing ovation."
"Yeah, well, let's not forget Mermaid Point is surrounded by water. The residents are a captive audience."
Maddie laughed but did not concede the point. She may not be a musician, but she knew a great song when she heard one. Will had written Free Fall in September, not long after she and the rest of the do-over crew had finished turning William Hightower's private island into what was supposed to have been a high-end bed and breakfast, but which he'd turned into a sober living facility. It was the first song he'd written after more than a decade unable to make music at all. The first he'd ever written without the benefit of drugs or alcohol.
"And not that I don't appreciate it," he added, "but I don't think you're completely objective."
"True," she said, "but I was a William Hightower fan way before I ever met you." That had been back when he was building a name as a Southern rocker, and Wasted Indian had been climbing to the top of the charts. "So let's not go questioning my musical taste." His dark eyes creased with amusement. The spider's web of lines at their corners attested to all he'd been through. He dropped a kiss on the top of her head, then headed for the stage. Maddie leaned against a vacant post not far from the bar that afforded an unobstructed view over the already packed tables that fanned out from the stage. A waitress handed her a glass of Pinot Noir, which she accepted gladly. She sipped it as Will and the musicians he'd cobbled together set up. Her eyes scanned the stage, the crowd, and the sun that hung in midair, poised for its swan dive into the bay. She had only one more day with Will before she'd drive up to Bella Flora, the house that she, Nicole Grant, and Avery Lawford had nursed back to life, and which had now become home. There, they'd have to figure out what, if anything, they could do about the show they'd created, lost control of, and then quit so publicly. Conversation ceased as William stepped up to the microphone. All eyes, including hers, fastened on the man who had once hung, in poster form, on her bedroom wall. William Hightower might be 62, but he'd come out of rehab a little over a year ago for what he'd vowed would be the last time, looking hot as hell. With a salt breeze and a pinkening sky for background, Will laid out his losses with a pain-roughened voice. He'd lost his younger brother and the woman who'd borne his son to drugs and excess. The pain had only mounted as he disappeared into every vial and bottle he could find in an attempt to hide from the hurt. Tonight, he hid nothing, singing with his eyes closed, his fingers lithe on his guitar strings, his body taut with emotion. The crowd's response was equally visceral. When he finished, Maddie's were not the only cheeks wet with tears. She'd expected that. What she hadn't anticipated was the naked hunger that shone in the eyes of his female fans. He sent her a smile over the heads of the women who mobbed him after the set, and she managed to smile back, even as she struggled to tamp down her jealousy and uncertainty. She'd learned over the last months to stop apologizing for her body, or even trying to hide it from him, though the stomach sucking was a reflex with a mind of its own. He insisted he wasn't comparing her to anyone, that she, a 51-year-old mother of two and grandmother of one, turned him on just the way she was. But if Will's mind didn't stray to all the women who'd come before her, or to the tsunami of female adoration that was currently washing over him, Maddie's did. A lifetime spent as a suburban housewife prepared a woman for a lot of things. A relationship with a man like William Hightower wasn't one of them.